On the telephone with us this morning, we have our good friend, Tim Mayer. He checks in every Tuesday morning just after 8:05. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Did you like that shuffle there? Was that a smooth post-holiday transition?
Yes.
That was. It was good. We're surprised to have you today because usually every major holiday you disappear to some shores or greener pastures. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Did your...
We were here for the holiday. So.
Very nice. Did your umbrella dry out yet?
Not yet. The patio's still pretty wet.
Did you get to witness Keith and his parade and all his birthday glory yesterday?
No, you know, yesterday was our day to volunteer at the community kitchen. So.
More important than being at the parade.
We had to forego the parade and miss Keith.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
He'll be a year older next year, Tim. Don't worry.
Being at the community kitchen is much more important.
Tell me what goes on at the community kitchen, Tim, for people that might not have had the chance to do that or are wondering aloud, what exactly does that entail?
Well, for a number of years, Sue and I have volunteered at the community kitchen. We go in on Monday mornings at 11:30 and work till about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and prepare food and do dishes and all the different things to prepare for the meal that starts at 4 o'clock every day except for Sunday at the community kitchen. So we work the prep shift. Sue typically works with another volunteer, and they put together snacks and lunches for kids in the clubs around Bloomington, Boys and Girls Club, Girls Inc., things like that. And I typically wash a lot of dishes.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Excellent, and sadly that you still have to do that every Monday, but it's a great way to help out in our community. As we get things moving here on a Tuesday, last week when we talked to you, we thought, we've got a big day at the council coming up on Wednesday. Why don't we just start back there? We'll look backwards to move forwards. How was the meeting, and what did we get accomplished?
Well, last week we talked about the Evergreen Project, which is coming up on off of Sayre Road. That was the city's ability to do a pilot, what is called a pilot, that's a payment in lieu of taxes. So we talked about that issue and pretty much got that resolved. We did hold a public hearing for the Duke Energy proposal for 11th and Rogers, although we did not discuss it. Because we have forwarded that onto our meeting of July 13th. But we did advertise that there would be an ability for public comment, so we did that. So we had a number of people get up and talk about the Duke Energy proposal to do a switching or transformer site at 11th and Rogers.
That was the second batch of commentary you had with the Duke site?
That is correct, because the previous week we actually had in committee meeting, we discussed, had a proposal from Duke, we had a proposal from the neighborhood, and there was that involved public comment. So when we got to last week's meeting, we had decided that we would postpone the decision-making on that until the 13th of July, but we had advertised that there would be public comment on it, so we went ahead and had the public give their views on it. So we heard some different positions and different views from different people, so it was beneficial. So.
Is the reason the meeting, it's on the agenda for the meeting on the 13th, is there's no meeting tomorrow?
There is a meeting tomorrow. That is.
Oh, so you just want extra time.
That's correct.
So everybody can deal with this. Great. So sometimes people like me hear that and assume, well, there must not be a meeting then. No, it's because everybody wanted the long holiday weekend to peruse through options to see what they are between either with a Duke or what's going to come.
Well,
it's really up to Duke, isn't it?
Duke and concerned parties are still meeting and talking, and I believe there's another meeting coming up this week with the planning department to see what types of things, you know, Duke is proposing and what types of things the neighborhood's proposing.
Now, are they subject to ordinance and things like other businesses would be? If they want to put something there, it all has to match this or be in step with that? How does that work?
Well, the have to meet with ordinance. I'm just trying to think what would apply. The reason they're coming before the city council is because, as we've talked about in the past, there are platted alleys and a platted street segment on the property that they are selecting to put this transformer site. And the city council has to vacate those so that Duke has full right to that property. It turns out that Duke can build its transformer site without vacating the alleys or the street stub, but the issue then is what happens to that property that has not been vacated. So that's where the discussions are right now, as to, you know, what the neighborhood would feel comfortable with and what Duke would feel comfortable with building. So, you know, they're trying to, pardon me, they're trying to negotiate their way through that issue right now.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. City Councilman checks in with us every Tuesday morning just after 8:05. There were rumblings. Are you guys looking? Have you been presented with any city/Duke co-planning in any of this stuff?
At this point, I believe the mayor's office has, you know, basically said that they will not put a certified tech park money into that project. That was one of the hopes I think people had, that the administration would step up and give some guidance to that, but they have not done that so far.
And they're not required to either, is that correct?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
That makes sense.
Right.
All right, so the next step in this process will be not tomorrow's meeting, but Wednesday the 13th meeting.
That is correct.
And action will be taken?
Well, action will be taken, but who knows what that action will be. Because
right.
We could table it could forward it on to another meeting. But we are facing a deadline, which is way out in the future, about 2 years out, that Duke is projecting that at some point in that year and a half to 2 years out, they will have reached maximum capacity to produce. So they're looking to say, you know, we really need to get this facility built and online. And they project about a year and a half construction. So,
and the land is not bought yet. Is that true?
That is correct. They have an option.
Well, they're not.
The
yeah,
land.
And if they find enough brushback, here's what has to happen. I think everybody if folks are just tuning into this in general, it's pretty simple that the area needs more power. That's not the argument, correct?
That is correct. And the neighbors who are, you know, discussing this are fully aware of that and fully acknowledge it. So they're not saying that, you know, not here, but if it is here, we want to see something that's compatible with the neighborhood. And that is, you know, how do you surround that site with whatever they're discussing at this point. So, you know, some people are projecting a wall around the facility with a commercial on the corner. Some people are discussing landscaping. So
we just can't put a tarp over it, can we?
No, you can't.
Tarps solve a lot of problems, but it's not going to help.
That's right. You can't do the 998 special.
No.
You can't do that.
Can't sew a couple of them together just to cover up that as well. So speaking of meetings, we have this Tuesday's meeting, or this Wednesday's meeting, rather, coming up.
That's correct.
What's going to be the big talking points?
Okay, so tomorrow evening at 7:30, Council Chambers, we will have Committee of the Whole. And we will be discussing an Ordinance 1616, which is basically standards of conduct for mobile vendors, so food trucks and push carts. So there's some licensing and regulation things that the administration wants to clean up. So we'll be discussing that. And then we will be discussing Ordinance 1614, that's to amend Title 15 of the Bloomington Municipal Code. That's vehicles and traffic. So this happens typically about twice a year, and, you know, the city is constantly looking at
Did Keith mail you his list of complaints?
He did. And I think they've been all addressed.
Thank you.
He'll be happy. things like parking in the alley, it turns out that commercial vehicles can park a few minutes longer than residential people can park. So, you know, if you're a resident downtown, you pull your car in the alley, I think you can park for 15 minutes currently. And if you're unloading. You're a delivery truck, yeah, you're 30 minutes. So
we thank you for allowing that. Instead of having one lane of Kirkwood or one lane of Walnut Street in the middle of the afternoon where delivery trucks line up and squeeze traffic down into one lane, yeah, thank you for
the best is, you know, when there's a truck on both sides.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and it squeezes three lanes down into one, and that reverberates back to South High School.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Tim, I saw an interesting story in the paper in Hotline, and I was not aware of this. Apparently, in a parking spot, you could put 2, 3, or 4 motorcycles in one spot with one fee. That seems to be anti what the whole thing is all about.
I read that too.
It's a space conundrum.
Well, no. I mean, if I could put two cars in sideways.
Well, you can't. Tough.
Well, it says if as long as you can get them in there.
What, do you got a Yugo? What are you going to stick in there? One of the smart cars?
Those little bitty things.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
That's an argument for skinny cars
Well, that's the deal. If you get a smart car like that, well, that's what you get. You get advantages. You can park in the motorcycle parking spot.
I just think if there's one vehicle in there, it's a vehicle, and more than one is missing up the.
Well, think of it this way.
Intent.
What if 12 motorcycles?
One thing that Hotline did not talk about is that there are designated motorcycle areas on the square.
Well, the good part that they did mention in the story was if you're the one that's closest to the sidewalk, you're in trouble because unless the rest of them come and leave, you're going to have trouble getting your motorcycle out of there.
That's why the motorcycle, they're taking their chances as well. So
I just never thought about it. I thought it was an interesting story.
Well, the other part was that each motorcycle would get a ticket if the meter expires.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
So triple your revenue, triple your fun.
Yeah.
This is just on a knife edge, Tim. Gee whiz. We lean 1 inch this way. We're 2 minutes late here. Look out.
I don't think anybody thought about that.
I don't know if that's going to be a huge occurrence.
Hey, Tim, the other thing is at this point in the administration, are all of the temporary titles and all of the actings and all of the other things, are you at full strength in the administration now?
No. I know Parks Director is, they're still searching for a Parks Director. I think they're doing a national search for Parks.
Right, because Mick decided it was going to stay in the mayor's office full time.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, we'll save that question for Mick on Thursday.
Right now, I think that's the only one that comes to mind.
Because Mary Catherine had her title changed to permanent.
That is correct.
Okay.
And so is Mick Reniason. We have Fire Chief. We have Public Works Director, Adam Wason. Police Chief, Utilities. So we're getting close planning. I think maybe one of the biggest outlier right now is Parks Department.
Okay.
And they'll have plenty to do.
So we will be discussing the traffic code, amending that, and then that includes, an interesting one is we authorize the mayor to give the mayor the ability to call basically parking holidays for inclement weather, holidays, that sort of thing. So the mayor can just say, on July 3rd, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we're not going to charge any parking meter money for people coming downtown to celebrate. I'm just giving that example, and I'm like, so he's going to do it. But you typically, Mayor Kazan would turn off the meters around the holidays, winter holidays.
So right.
Those sorts of things.
Well, the good news is you do this twice a year, so nothing really gets through the cracks for that long of a period of time. Things can be corrected and fixed, and that makes perfect sense in how that works.
While you're on that topic, when they first started talking about all of this, one of the things that was perfectly clear was at any given time, you could zone certain parking meters in certain parts of the city. Has that ever happened where you're going to be real busy so the prices go up a little bit in this area?
No, that's never been. I don't think it's ever really been entertained. People advocated for it, but I don't think who was entertained to to actually do that. So.
Well, the other part is the obviously the meter issues you had earlier in the year. You've got the reserve clause to make sure that the technology is up to date and they're working, they're not broken. Any feedback on that? Everything going smoothly?
The mayor did a press conference on that a couple of weeks ago, and things have been improved. So.
Yeah, they got to pay for it. You buy the meters from them; they got to work. That's got to
right.
That's got to be the other part.
Well, the one missing piece that people don't talk about that is vandalism.
Sure.
And I don't know what rate vandalism is, but people.
It's those three guys parking the motorcycle in one spot. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
Watch
out. Well,
the rough bunch.
Go out for an evening and spend a little too much time in the bars and come out.
Yeah.
Upset
that they forgot to. Put the money in the meter. Well, that's
exactly.
Parking meters aren't there as punching bags, nor are they there for decoration, unless
that's
it's
true.
Sunday. So you have to be. That's a you problem. It sounds like, Tim. That's not a societal problem. That's a you problem for getting it. And we don't like to legislate you problems. If you can't keep up with the herd, well, you can find somewhere else to gather with the herd. All right. So 7:30 tomorrow night, City Hall.
That is correct.
Council
now,
chambers.
We have one more item
on good.
The agenda, and that is we will be addressing the chocolate mousse site. Well, I guess that's the best way to call it.
Yes.
But there's a proposal going through our City Plan Commission for apartment complex to replace the chocolate mousse building and the building to the south of it,
right.
In the parking lot there, and then going all the way back over to Washington Street.
Where it backs up into another building that was just built four stories for apartments
correct.
And everything else. So I don't mean to spoil what's going to happen at the meeting, but it looks like it fits in to that block like peas and carrots. It's surrounded on four sides by, it looks to be, buildings just like that.
What the council will be working on is a tax abatement because the administration has been able to work with the developer, and they will set aside five affordable housing apartments within that complex. So
very nice.
We're looking at tax abatement for that.
What is the definition of affordable housing? Because I bet it's a little different between what Keith thinks is affordable, what I think is affordable, what you think is affordable. What is the working definition of that?
Well, the condition they're putting on this particular project is the person must be making no greater than the living wage is how I would put it. So living wage, which is about $12, $13 an hour, depending on whether you get insurance in there. So anybody making that in that range would be eligible for that. And they're,
So the enticement to build more of these or to have more of these units available is the tax abatement.
That is correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you
and I think it's a five-year abatement. The developer was actually seeking a three-year development, and the Redevelopment Commission changed it to five to make the incentive greater for other future building projects coming forward to look at that and take a serious look at doing an affordable component in new construction.
Let me ask a dumb question. That's obviously my area of expertise. After the 5 years is up, do they have to keep it at that living wage, or does it go away once the abatement goes away?
No, I think they have the ability for it to go away at that point in time.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah,
I kind of figured that would be the case.
That's something we'll learn. That's something we can ask about tomorrow evening.
Oh, good. And then we'll get to hear about the recap next Tuesday. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so tomorrow.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, but we will be meeting on the 12th, which is Tuesday at 7:30 for a special session of City Council, and that is to consider the water rate increase. And then we will add some other
And briefly on that is not an addition to the addition to the addition. That is just the one we've all been talking about, right?
No, if you go back, we have approved the wastewater sewer rate increase.
Right.
That was approved. But when they advertised the water portion of it, rate increase, they in the legal notice they put the wrong meeting time. So somebody inadvertently put 5:30 instead of 7:30, and because this goes before the Indiana Utility Rate Commission, they wanted all the T's to be crossed and the I's to be dotted. So We postponed that and pushed it off to the 12th. So we will be discussing that on the 12th.
But this isn't anything new. This is what.
No.
This is just the completion of what has been talked about here for the last.
That is correct.
So that's a special session next Tuesday. That's a week from today.
That is correct.
Then do you have a meeting on the 13th as well?
And we do on.
Oh man. Do you know? You know what? After those two meetings, you should take 6 weeks off.
Yeah, put in for overtime.
You should go on hiatus.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I think I'll suggest that.
Okay. And then maybe come back like around the, what, the 20th
right,
of...
Don't do that, Tim. Too many people may think that's a good idea for the city council not to do anything for a while.
It is their time of year, isn't it, Tim?
That is true.
To get to the get ready for the budget hearings, Keith? You know how that calendar works. It's time for them to disappear. So we'll get double-barreled action next Tuesday morning.
That is correct.
Well, I better go to bed early on Monday night.
That's correct.
Hey, Tim, great job. We always appreciate it. The information and insight is always helpful as well. Tomorrow's meeting, 7:30, and then next Tuesday, not tonight, next Tuesday the 12th, that meeting is 7:30 as well. So if you remember 7:30 all the time, you will, A, get your notices right, and, B, you will make every meeting on time.
That is correct.
All right,
Tim. That is correct. Hey, thank you. It's
thank
good
you.
Talking to you.
Always. Tim Mayer, city councilman, joins us every Tuesday morning. Gets us ready for the Wednesday night meetings, Keith, unless it's next week.
Tuesday
we'll have
night.
Tuesday and Wednesday night, just to, as he mentioned, to cover all the crossing of the T's and the dotting of the I's. So busy times in the city. And the reason it's a little bit busy here is because they will be going on hiatus in the next couple of weeks, as they always do in the late summertime once they get everything up and running and raring to go.